Hey, so what's up, everybody? It's Billy Rickman, and welcome to a very special episode of the podcast. Now, I say it's a very special episode because today I actually did my very first episode of a new show I'm doing called Billy Answers, where it's an opportunity for you guys to call in, ask your questions about your business, things you need help with, some advice, what's challenging you, and I give my best answer to help you problem solve and help you to succeed in your business to the highest level possible. Now, every now and then, I'm also going to have some guests on the show to help answer some of the questions. And I did that today also because I had Christian Tognini from Tognini's Hair, Joe Blow, and also from the education business, Little Off the Top. And we took two calls today on the show from salon owners who wanted assistance with both motivating their staff and how to set KPIs and targets. So tune in. This is a brand new format from us. Let us know what you think and reach out to me on either Facebook or Instagram. Tag me if you have any questions for myself or for Christian. Enjoy the show. Hey everybody, and welcome to episode number one of Billy Answers. This is the show where you get to ask questions and we get to answer them to give you some advice to help you succeed and kick more goals in your business. Today I have a special guest. He was actually a schoolmate of mine back in the 90s. Can you believe it? It's Christian Tognini from Tognini's Hair. How are you, mate?
I am awesome. How are you?
Good, buddy. Good. So you're not just from Tognini's Hair, though. You also have other things. So why don't you tell everybody, what is it that you do?
Yep, so we have obviously a salon called Tognini's Hair. It's been around for 32 years. So it started in 1987. So good fun, good times, long time. We also have Little Off the Top, which is an education company based for hairdressers. We educate all around the world. And we have a group of about 8 educators that work for us under that banner. And then we also hit into the hair loss market. So we have a product called Joe Blow. And basically we looked at male hair loss and went, we can flip this marketing on its head. And that's what we've done. So we've created a lifestyle brand.
Okay, so on that point, Christian, one of the things we spoke about this morning was about branding. And you said about Salon Growth Con, how I'm marketing my event different to most industry events, right? We're not using corporate partners and things like that to sell tickets. We're doing a funnel style sales, online, direct to consumer. Do you want to get that first call on the line? And so I think what's good about that is I love disrupting the market, and you're doing that with your brand as well.
Hello,
speaking. Hey, who's this speaking?
It's Lisa Paris,
yeah. Hey, Lisa, how you doing?
Hey, Lisa, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
So you got Billy and Christian Tognini on the line.
Yeah.
What's your question today?
So my question is, how do you keep your team motivated and rising?
How do you keep your team motivated and rising? Christian set a salon for 32 years. He's dealt with, how many staff have you got at the moment in the salon?
We've got 27.
27, what do you call them, stylists? 27 stylists and colorists? All
27 stylists, colorists, beauty therapists, everything.
All of the above. All right,
above, so apprentices.
How do you keep 27 people motivated?
For us, it's knowing what they want. So right. It's checking in all the time with your staff, finding out what motivates them, what drives them, what you want to see them succeed. So I believe that if you're making your staff happy, and they're happy, and they're genuinely happy, they're going to perform for you. That's the key. The key is to make sure, to find out exactly what they want, almost give them what they want, or give them a pathway to achieve what they want to achieve. Keep them happy. If your staff are happy, I can guarantee you they'll be happy.
How much does it have to do with hiring motivated people in the first place?
Oh, humongous. Like, I mean, that's number one. Like, if you're not picking those people from, and you're finding that you're hiring people in your business and they're not the right fit. One, it's the old saying, which is hire slowly, fire fastly.
Yeah.
I think that is, if someone doesn't fit your culture, you need to make sure that you put your foot down.
It's bad apple, right? It's bad apple.
Absolutely.
Whole bunch, yeah.
But it also, for the rest of your team, it shows real leadership when you do something like that, because it's like, we won't stand for that. We don't want that person in our business.
Yeah.
We know that it's not the right fit. Yeah. We're not going to try and make it the right fit and try and fit that, you know, square peg in the round hole. We cut it straight away and we go find someone else.
Let me ask you a question, Lisa. What's the trouble you're having? Like, is it across the board in your business, or is it more to do, like, is there one or two, like, or is it in the past? Is it current? What's the situation you've got?
So we spent a lot of time just dealing with that, getting the right team in place, and that's been a big journey over the last couple of years. And the new team are not so much the problem. They're all happy where they are. Our problem is more with the team. We've got 3 girls who've been with us for around 10 years.
Oh, that's good.
Which is amazing. But just keeping that motivation going for them and not letting them fall too much into, I guess it's the rut from having been in the same place and doing the same thing.
Well, that's, yeah, but that's your responsibility to manage that growth and you know, it's human nature to become complacent. Like, humans will always go for the path of least resistance. And so it's your job to keep them engaged with the business and how you do that. The fact you've had people for 10 years, I think, is pretty...
It's amazing.
It's pretty astounding. Yeah. You must be doing something right. So what I would do with those three people, I would sit down and take them for a lunch or even take them for dinner or take them somewhere really nice where you can have, like, a good time with them, and then dig a little bit deeper and ask those three people individually, not as a group. You want to do this one-on-one. Ask those people, why have they stayed with you for 10 years? What is it? And because if you can get the answers from them, then you just need to do more of that. But I think also what you need to do as well is understand why people do what they do. Like, for some people, and Christian, like, you know, people do want to make more money, right? But then other people, especially in hair and beauty, it's like, no, I want to spend more time with my family.
Absolutely.
Or, you know what, we haven't been overseas for 10 years as a family, and I want to take my kids to Disneyland before they grow up. So it's understanding exactly what it is, Lisa, that motivates each individual rather than looking for a motivational plan that covers every team member.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
Yeah, so that, yeah?
Yeah. It's just, it's one of those things. It doesn't end, which is fine, and I understand you have to keep on going with things. And we do training, we go out to dinner once a month as a team. We have great cash rewards and incentives.
And Lisa, it comes back to what they value too. So by going for dinner for once a month, well, I think that's great. But do your staff value it? Have they been going for dinner once a month for 10 years that now they just expect it? And I think that's where you need to sit back down with them and really find out what's going to motivate them, what's going to drive them, what are their goals, and how do we put a plan in place individually, like Billy said, to move forward for them.
Yeah. Is there a reason why you want to motivate them though as well? I want to know what your motivations are, Lisa. Like, do you feel like the business has reached has the business plateaued and you're like, well, I need to motivate my team in order to get to that next level? Or are you simply just trying to motivate your team to continue going the way you're going? Like, what's in it for you? Why do you want to motivate your team so much?
I absolutely want to grow, and I think there are definitely elements of the way that they work that could be improved in terms of profitability and that kind of side of things. But the main thing for me is that when people aren't inspired, you see that start to go in their work. So they're still doing great work, but it's never different. So a client comes in and they've been getting their hair done and they love it for 10 years, but they don't want those same things for the rest of their life. and so it's about keeping them inspired about...
You know what though, Lisa? Sometimes though, you need to be careful about that, because sometimes we want change because we're bored and we automatically assume that maybe our clients are bored or that the work isn't of the same standard anymore because we're used to the daily grind. You know, it's like when you walk in, I've walked into businesses before and I've been wowed and I've gone, oh my God, this place is absolutely amazing. And the business owner turns around and says, oh really? Oh, I didn't think it looked that great. They don't think it looks that great because they walk into the business every single day and they're seeing the same thing every single day. But if you have something that's performing already at a certain standard, it's not necessarily it's broken. You need to assess whether or not the business needs change, whether or not you need to change those people and re-motivate them and make some of those changes you're talking about in the business, or whether or not you're just bored and you're just used to the norm and you just want to take the business in a different direction.
I think I'm so bored. We did a full year refit. Got a brand new salon 6 months ago, and I saw them get sparked by that. They got excited and loved their space. The way they engaged with everybody was a lot more energized, and that's printing again. And obviously, you can't do a full renovation every 6 months.
No.
You can, but you'll probably be broke pretty quickly.
My health can't manage that.
Yeah, I imagine.
So it was great seeing particularly those long-termers coming into work and actually being excited about what they were doing.
Yeah. Christian, you've been through...
About seeing them be excited.
Yeah, I get what you're saying too. I mean, there's times in your business as well, I believe, that, you know, are these people that you're talking about, are they the people that you need to motivate? Are they taking up so much of your time that you can't spend time with the rest of your staff? Or are other members of your team, now they're the people that they talk about in the back room or whatever it is, are they a bad apple for you or you just want more out of them?
Really, the business is pivotable on them in a lot of ways because they've been there for so long, so much of the clientele is tied to them. So that, you know, there's a lot of incentive for me as an owner to keep them there and keep them motivated. We're also in a place where it's very much based around that really loyal clientele. Business has been running for 25 years.
Congratulations.
25? Jeez, you and Christian, between the two of you, you've got over half a century of salary ownership. Jesus. The business is...
And it's hard. I probably come from a place where I could talk to you about it. We have the same issues at our salon where you've got long-term staff members, long-term clientele that are tied to that staff. And about, as hard as it was, about 3 years ago, we did a small cleanse, I would call it, of long-term staff members in the salon. And yes, they were the people that turned over the most amount of money, the people that looked after the most amount of clients, probably had the most loyal clientele. But where we wanted to take the business forward, we realized that they weren't on the same path as where we wanted to drive it. So by keeping them in our business, it was actually hindering our movement forward because they would put up those roadblocks or become demotivated because you're trying to try something different.
Yeah.
So we made a stand as a company and went, okay, we actually need to change. And these people, if you're not on board fully, it's at a certain point, it's up to you to motivate them, but they also have to be motivated themselves to do extra and to do more. So
I would do three things just to wrap this up if I were you, Lisa. Number one, I would take them for lunch or dinner and find out about the 10 people. And the people who've been there for 10 years, and I would find out why they've been around for 10 years. The second thing is I would find out what the individual motivations are of each person in the business. And the third thing I would do is shut the salon down for 2 or 3 days and have like a mini retreat with all of your team. And instead of you setting goals for the business, have the team collectively set goals for the business. And so that when they come to work, they're not just trying to fill your dreams. They're not just trying to fill what you want for the business. It's kind of like they've been a part of that decision-making process. They've been a part of where the direction of the business, and they kind of feel like, you know, that you guys are all working together rather than Lisa the boss and we're just kind of just doing our own thing. If you all have a collective motivation rather than, you know, each trying to achieve individual goals, which everyone has individual goals, but I mean, you know, as a bigger picture here, I think that drives performance a lot better. And during that little mini retreat session, what you're going to find is exactly what Christian said. You're going to find the people who are not interested in the business, who are just there to get their paycheck, because they're the ones who won't have any input into where the business is going. And the people who have the most excitement, they're the people you really want to have, like, stay with you. And if you need to replace them, like Christian said, then that's what I'd be doing.
Oh, that's great.
Awesome. Thanks for your call, Lisa.
Thanks, Lisa.
So it was a good question, though.
Great question.
Do you want to tee up another call for us there?
I mean, the teams are hard. I mean, we all have teams. It's a hard one to keep people motivated. But without knowing yourself, like, if you're the boss or you're a manager out there and you're listening to this, it's your job to know what they want.
Yeah.
And how to motivate them. Everyone's got a different personality and everyone's got different needs. So you've got to actually marry the two together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello, who am I speaking to?
Chris.
Hey Tess, it's Billy. How are you doing?
Hey Tess, you've Christian as well.
So you got Christian Tognini. You're Christian Tognini from Tognini's Hair. Actually, Tess, this is Tess Claris, isn't it?
Yes.
Tess, so you've got a hair salon in Ipswich.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Tognini's Hair before?
Sorry, I don't think I have.
That's all good, Tess.
So Christian Salon has been in Brisbane for 32 years?
32 years.
32 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so local. Double local.
Double local.
Double local.
We're Queenslanders together. How good, Tess?
I've only been in Brisbane 5 years, so good. I haven't really been around that long. hear of many people, so.
That's all right, Tess. So how can we help you today? What's your question?
I think that we are ready to start looking into implementing KPIs and really just getting our staff working towards targets. I'm not really sure, because when I was working in New Zealand, we didn't really have targets ever, or KPIs. So I have no idea where to start. I don't even know really what the benefit of them is to help growth. Like, I have a loose idea, but I really like to know just like the groundwork that we need to do before we start.
I actually love this topic.
Yeah, so
I'm like champion of the bigger. Oh, I've got so much to say about this. We'll try to keep it pretty succinct. Christian, what do you think? KPIs and targets.
KPIs. Okay, so the benefit of KPIs,
super quick, because there will be people who are just getting into business who are listening or watching this. KPI, key performance indicator. Basically look at it as like, these are the measurements of key areas in the business that you want to succeed in. As a quick heads up for people listening in.
Love it.
Go.
So my heads up with KPIs is it's like, the benefits of it is, okay, so if you watch someone play sport, do they play with a scoreboard? Absolutely. They want to know where they're going, how they're winning, why they're doing it. And the KPI is the why. It's the scoreboard for your staff and for yourself and for your business. So that's to answer that part of the question. And if you're looking for what KPIs are great or what benchmarks are that you should be looking at and things like that, is that what you're after, Tess?
Yeah, I'm not really sure how to work that out. Chrissy and I touched on it briefly this week when I spoke to her, but this is my next thing we're going to tackle. I have no idea where to start with.
There's a fantastic resource that's put on by the AHC, which is the Australian Hairdressing Council. If you are part of the AHC or look to join up with, they have a library of references on all sorts of things for your salon. But one of the big things they do have is benchmarking. So part of the AHC is, I'm not sure how many salons they've got on board now. Billy, do you know after your talks to Sandy?
Oh, I know it's a lot. I don't know the exact number, but it's not like a small pool. We're talking big.
You're talking like 500 plus salons. And basically what they do is they benchmark all the salons over turnover. So basically anyone that's joined up with the AHC, they'll send you, I think it's a quarterly email. You fill in a few questions. And then the KPIs and their benchmarking is done on your turnover of your salon. So it's not putting a salon that's, turning over $500,000 a year versus a salon group that's turning over $20 million a year. The benchmarks and the KPIs are going to be different. Mm. So my suggestion is actually jump onto there and have a look and match up your turnover with where you're sitting, and then have a look at those benchmarks and then see what you want to work on within your business. It might be something to do with, retail sales or something like that. It'll give you the benchmark number that you're trying to hit on there too.
Yeah. I agree with Christian's first point, just not about the numbers, which was your second point, the first part about the scoreboard. Do you like sport, Tess? Is there any particular sport that you've ever been, a fan of?
Not really.
Not
darts,
really.
Maybe.
What was that?
Darts.
All right, darts. We'll use darts, okay. All right.
Random,
yeah. So,
are you drinking pints? Are you keeping scores on those? Or the actual score on the darts? Oh, yeah. Darts, so good.
So, what's the number in darts? It's 301. Do they have to count back from?
501.
501, right? So, the whole purpose of darts, right, is obviously you start at 501 and then you work your way, first person to get to zero wins. Now, that's the sport of darts, but if you go to a pub or whatever and you just start throwing darts at a dartboard and no one's keeping score, you'll probably do it for about 5 or 10 minutes and you go, okay, cool, you'll try to hit the bullseye a couple of times and, and then eventually you just get bored after 5 or 10 minutes and go and have a drink. The only thing that keeps you interested in watching darts, the reason why they're able to now make a TV show out of it, which is massively popular on cable TV and things like that, is because of the scoreboard. Because there's a score, 501, people are trying to achieve down to zero. Without that scoreboard component, darts becomes boring. And, one of the calls you'll be able to watch this video later on, one of the calls we've just taken off somebody else was about how to keep people interested in the business. One of the ways you keep people interested in the business is by keeping score. It's much like sport with darts. You want to keep score on your dartboard. And so it kind of flows into the next point I'm going to make, is that most people have this this opinion that if I hold my staff or my team to a standard and keep track on the score, then they're going to feel like I'm pushy, they're going to feel like I'm salesy, they're going to feel like, that it's pressure at work and things like that. But it's actually the opposite applies. People lose interest and lose motivation in their workplace if they don't have something to aspire to, if they don't have a target. And look at it with like with children. My son, for example, he is my best friend in the whole world. Like my 6-year-old, my best friend in the whole world. But there's a line in the sand, right? And if he crosses that line, he knows he's in trouble. And so he knows that if he stays one side of the line, he's going to be in the good books. He's going to get rewarded for that. And if he crosses that line, he's going to be in trouble for it. And that's like your team as well. They want to know when they're doing the right thing and the wrong thing, because it allows them to know what to do, how to do it, when to do it. And they know there's also going to be rewards in place when they do the right thing consistently.
Superb answer.
Is that, would you agree on that?
Absolutely.
Does that all make sense, Tess?
Yeah, it does. It kind of, there's been a few indicators. Like when we were doing, the boxer, where we're singing in our numbers every hour.
Yeah. The sales killers.
And I had a board where we were marking off where we were up to at the end of every day, and I feel like that kind of drove people to.
Oh, it definitely drives performance. Yeah. Or you look at any business and it's run by numbers.
Makes sense. It's just adding on to that, I guess.
If you were in our HQ at the moment with our Sale and Growth Con tickets, we've got a big scoreboard upstairs, and every single time a ticket is scored, we've got Andrew, who's our market guy, who's got a bell next to his desk, and he rings the bell really loud, and then everyone sort of like celebrates, and then we mark the scoreboard, up a notch, and we bring the numbers required down. And that whole like scoreboard system, like Christian said, it just keeps it interesting, exciting, engaging, and fun. And it drives performance because everybody wants that bell to ring.
That's it.
Yeah.
There's a sense of achievement, I guess, hey?
100%. Yeah. So, Tess, go off this call right now, sit at your office, and write up your targets and KPIs, because it will drive your performance, your business, like nothing else you've done before.
Yeah. I will have to.
Awesome. Thanks for your call, Tess.
Thanks, Tess.
I've been procrastinating about it.
Yes. Not yes. Procrastinating. Thanks, Tess.
All the best.
Thank you.
So I think, two important questions that a lot of hair and beauty salon owners want to know, right? Targets, KPIs, and how do I motivate people to achieve them?
Absolutely.
Which kind of fall together.
They sort of do, don't they?
Exactly right. So that's it. Episode one is done. Thanks for joining me, buddy. Thanks for being part of the show.
So good to be here.
I think it was really cool. I think it's something we can definitely do more of, because it definitely answers the questions that you guys have. I have my coaching clients. Christian serves a lot of people in his education business as well, and it's the same questions that keep coming up. A lot of them are based around team, performance, how to drive results, how to get to that next level. And so on this show, we're going to answer your questions you have around business. And if you want to ask Christian a question or anything like that, jump on my Facebook page and send me a message, or write a post on my Facebook page and at Christian Tognini. Or at were you off a little off the top?
Tognini's a little off the top.
Any of the above?
It'll get answered.
It'll get answered. I'll make sure of it. So make sure you ask Christian a question. And we'll see you tomorrow for episode 2 of Billy Answers. Want to keep up to date with all my videos, posts, and free content? Head to Facebook and like my page at facebook.com/BillyRickmanOfficial. You can also find me on Instagram by searching TheRealB_Rickman.